All right. Hey, y'all. I'm Estella.
And I'm Laura. And this is the Goodness Gracious podcast, where we'll talk about real life, real faith, and all the goodness and chaos in between.
We're two friends, wives, and moms who are learning to give grace because grace was given.
So whether you're running errands, chasing toddlers, or finally sitting down with your coffee,
you're in the right place. Let's jump into today's conversation.
You know, the whole growth mindset and how sometimes, like, we get stuck in our failures and we can say, oh, I'm just going to give up, instead of I've fallen and I failed at this morning's routine, but I'm going to pick myself up, dust myself off. Mm-hmm. But this morning was not that way. This morning was a struggle. This morning I allowed the situation to get the best of me. And then I started to have that negative self-talk and I actually felt kind of like a hypocrite, and I felt like, how am I going to go and record a podcast about grace when this morning I failed to show it to my son, and I failed to show it to myself even? Like, how am I going to go and talk about this? But then I thought, like, I just need to share that I stumbled too, but I picked myself up, and I realized that that negative self-talk was something that I have gotten used to over the years. That talk's not my own voice. That's just a voice that I've gotten used to. And so I shrugged that off and I said to myself, you know what? No, I'm not a failure. I actually did. I talked to myself like I was a kid. I talked to my inner child and I was like, you know what? I had a rough morning. I woke up and it was just a struggle and it was tough, but I'm going to do better next time, and I can do better. And that's the grace to grow. And so I think that even as adults, we need to implement that growth mindset. Do you struggle with, like, perfectionism ever?
With perfectionism?
Yeah. Like thinking like something isn't maybe good enough.
I have a hard time sometimes being creative. I really enjoy creating things, but the struggle that I have with that is if I'm creating something, then people are seeing it and people are really quick to judge negatively. While yes, I get a lot of positive feedback. If I am, you know, I've tried baking from home, and that didn't work out for me.
So good though. Your cookies are awesome.
I love baking. And when I found out that I could, you know, potentially open a home bakery, I was like, I would love to do that. I could do that at home. And I was so excited and I went all in. You know, I built my website, and there was a lot of positive that came from it, but I stopped investing in the home bakery, and people can see that as a failure and think that it's a bad thing. But, you know, I don't want to see it like that. Yes, I'm not doing it anymore, and that makes me sad because I'm not doing the home bakery anymore. You know, and people might ask, well, why aren't you doing it if you want to do it? It just didn't work out. Like, it didn't align with my schedule. And what I mean by my schedule is being able to take care of my home, my family, and the things that I'm prioritizing. I didn't prioritize it with the rest of my life. And I'm okay with that.
You have other things that are higher on your list.
Yeah. One of the requirements of having a home bakery is you have to get your kitchen inspected like a restaurant would. You know, the kitchen gets inspected like a restaurant. Think what you want of it, but I was not ready to have my kitchen restaurant ready.
Right. You didn't know what that entailed.
And that was, or did you not? No, it's, I did know what it entailed, and I was not prepared to meet those qualifications because I have a family.
Yeah, Yes, absolutely.
And you're I have a family too. And that's my kitchen is not restaurant ready. And that's just one aspect. Having a home bakery is running a business from home. And that just realistically, that's not something I wanted to keep up with. And some people might think like, ooh, well, that's a failure and that's bad. But I was able to experience it firsthand, you know, put my hands in it, you know, work with it in my life. And some people might say, well, I can't take that risk if I'm either all in or all out. And, you know, that might be your case, but it wasn't my case. And I was able to try it out and it didn't work for me.
And that's, can I just say, I think that you giving yourself the grace to say, I tried it, I know what my priorities are, and I am not a failure because this didn't turn out. That's like the grace to grow. You grew because in the past, would you have not been like, you know, put yourself down in the dumps?
Yeah, absolutely.
But now you're like, I absolutely have my priorities straight and I'm doing this the right way. You're growing in your grace for yourself.
And that's tough, beautiful. You know?
Yeah. That's
because when you say you want to do something, you want it to be successful, you know, like you want things to work out. But I didn't see myself keeping up with that.
Well, you have a big vision of what it's going to be, but like what it takes to get there. It's different when you have a newborn baby and a family, and that's different than maybe in a few years down the road, you know?
Yeah, I really thought it would be, I don't want to say, I thought it would be easier because that's not, like, I don't want that to be like a cop-out.
Well, you had said before that sometimes when you pick up things, they do come easy to you. Mm-hmm. So maybe you had thought, this is something that's going to come, another thing that'll come easy. And
it was easy. That's the thing is that it was really easy to have a home bakery. But if I was single and I didn't have kids, I could do it. But because I couldn't split my time between having a family and everything that entails, you know, props to you. If you can like take care of your kids and run a home business, you know, it's a lot of work.
That's two full-time jobs.
Several. Several, yeah. But I was neglecting, you know, my family because I was like, Joshua, you have to watch the kids while I bake and while I do this other stuff. And I have a deadline to meet. And I found myself doing this often. And then just being exhausted after it. And we, you know, I'll just speak for myself. I would get frustrated because I felt like I was like forcing this time that I needed to devote to baking and running, you know, starting a business. And they always say starting a business is the hardest part, which yes. And then I had to decide, am I willing to fully invest my time and my energy and effort into this bakery, or will it, you know, end up hurting us more in the end? Like, is it worth it? I had to decide that. And I decided it wasn't. It wasn't worth it to run a bakery from home. You know, I always think like maybe I'll try it again in the future. But as Josiah got older, he got more mobile and I needed like different things in the kitchen for cooking for my family. And I decided I did not want to devote my time to starting a bakery business and with everything that entailed. And some people, you know, if you want to start a business, you're going to have to work past these hurdles. But this isn't something that I wanted to devote myself to. And, and I am giving myself that grace to, to be okay with that.
Yeah. This is individual because like you said, more power to you if you can do that. But every person needs to measure that for themselves. And
right.
Each other to self-sabrace.
And there are like so many other little things that turn me off from starting a home bakery. But I don't want to get into that.
So maybe it's better this way then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Exactly. It just worked
out. Yeah, there's always that point, and sometimes it's several points where you have to decide, is this worth my time? Mm. Is this worth the sacrifice? Because everything will have sacrifice.
Exactly.
But am I willing to put in the sacrifice? Am I willing to ask Joshua to give up his time and his work time so that we can, you know, coordinate schedules?
Mm.
And he did that for me for a while, you know? I asked him if I could bake, and he would say okay, and I would tell him okay, I need this much time, and he would tell me okay, I'm gonna watch the kids for that much time. And so it wasn't that he didn't let me or anything. It was definitely something I had to work through, and that I eventually decided to not follow,
right,
not continue with.
Right.
I don't want to say not follow through, because I did. I followed through.
Yeah,
it's just, it wasn't what I wanted.
Right, exactly. And I think an important part of that, too, I remember when I was working out of the house and I would come home, and sometimes I would work 4 hours, sometimes I would work 6 hours, but I felt like I was giving my best to the outside world, and then I'd come home and I'd have like nothing left to give to my family. And again, this is completely individual. This is just myself. I'm just sharing my experience. But that took some time for me to realize, well, and it took a workplace injury that took me out of work. But in that time, I realized, wow, I have a lot more to give if I can balance that out and I'm not giving it all the best of what I have, my kindness, my patience, and everything, I'm giving it to complete strangers. But my reserves are kind of depleted by the time I get home. And I really need to give that to my family, you know?
Yeah, prioritize. Yeah.
Prioritize. Yep, priority. Yes, Grace, that growth mindset is, you know, the whole thought of like, you can't train a new, or can't teach an old dog new tricks. We are forever growing as people and as individuals, you know, growing in our faith, growing in our walk, our physical bodies, our spiritual bodies. So we do need to remember that this life is a continual process of learning and growing. You know, really, we have so much opportunity to grow and become these people that we want to become, but we have to start putting those things into practice and then give ourselves the grace when we do fail, because we are going to have to continuously pick ourselves up and keep going. But parenting is definitely something that I run into. Like I was saying, with the growth mindset, it has been eye-opening. With even my third grader, she always loves to talk about breathing exercises.
That's nice.
Yeah. She's so sweet.
Does she like hear you talking about it and then or is it just coming up at school? And so she's bringing it up.
You know, I told her, she had questioned why I had the breathing little stick-it notes around the house once. And I told her, oh, I was breathing because I was using it to kind of calm myself. But then about a year later, she brought home the concept of square breathing, which I actually never had heard about. And it's, I think I talked about it before, but it's a 4 count in and then actually an 8 count out.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's a slow in, but even
should
a
slower. Should be called rectangle breathing.
Right? Oh, that's rectangle, right? Because the longer, yes, that's right. It should be called, okay, trademark that. That's copyrighted. But no, but yeah, so she told me about that. And it's just, you know, it's teaching them how to get through.
Big emotions.
Yeah, that they can do these difficult things. And it's just amazing. It's just really great. I'm glad that we have this reinforcement from our schools. I really am, because they're not just hearing it from me. And sometimes I think that when kids hear it from the outside, not from us, they listen so much better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, So that's my third grader. She talks about, and it's so, you know, it's age appropriate for her. It's these little concepts of growth mindset, picking yourself up when you fall, dusting yourself off again, you know, it's really awesome. I know your son, he's in elementary, right?
He is in his last year of elementary school. He's going to go to middle school this fall. It's tough because as they get older, they just want to become more and more independent, and they start challenging you more and more. They want to, they feel like they know everything, and then they tell you that they know. And then you guys just, like, I guess I'll speak for myself, but we just get into arguments. It's like, you got to do it like this, but I can do it like this. Listen to what I'm saying. It's just do what I tell you to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult for sure.
It is.
A lot of practice.
It is. Yeah. Which is kind of cool, actually. I know it. We have these children that are so intelligent, and they say, oh, I can do this way. And what if we let them try to do it their way and they fail?
I've tried doing that. I've started trying to do that. It's so frustrating for me because I'm on a timetable. And if I say, I have a good example. Mm-hmm. Yesterday I said, will you go start the car? Because we're leaving and I'm going to put the baby in the car and I want the AC to start going because it was the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. And so the car is hot and you left some trash on the table. So make sure that gets thrown away. Mm-hmm. Okay. I go, I pack up the baby in his baby carrier. I start walking out the door and I see him walking out of the kitchen with a juice box in his hand. I'm walking out with the baby and the car is not started and he has a juice box in his hand. I'm like, Laser, what are you doing? Yes. And I said, you didn't start the car like I asked you. So that's 5 stairs. I give him stairs as discipline because, mm-hmm. you know, I can't do anything else in the moment. So, and he's like, I'm doing what you asked me. And I said, you are getting a juice box without asking. And I asked you to start the car. And he's like, no. And I was like, I don't have time for this.
Right.
And so we get in the car and I'm trying to be calm. Like I'm trying so hard not to flip out. I was angry. I said, you have 5 stairs. But he's like, I did do what you asked. I just, I forgot to put away the Legos that Dad told me to put away earlier. And I was like, okay, so you put away the Legos that Dad had asked you to put away earlier. And you didn't do it until now when I asked you to do something else. That's 5 stairs. Mm-hmm. And he's like, but, and normally I wouldn't let him explain anything to me because I'm like, no, you didn't do what I asked you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore you're going to face the consequence. But instead of doing that, I backed up and I was like, oh, all right. If you're saying that's not what happened, please explain to me what happened. And he said, you asked me to do that stuff. I had to put away the Legos first. And I was like, okay, you put away the Legos first, but I saw you come out with a juice box and you did not turn on the car. You grabbed a juice box instead. He said, I was doing what you said. You said throw away that trash on the table. So while I walked over to throw away that trash, I grabbed a juice box because it was on my way in the kitchen. And you just went too fast. It was so fast. And I've been listening to like parenting advice and it said, you know, you have to be patient with your kids. They, you have to give them time. Basically they're slow.
Molasses, like we were saying the other day, cause I know I'm like that too. I'm like, do it now.
Now they're slow as molasses. And then when they want to do something quickly, they're like, boom, boom, boom. And they get things done real fast.
If there's a video game at the end of the rainbow. Yeah.
If they want to go play a video game. Oh, yeah. Super fast.
Mm.
But I was trying to like hone myself in and be real graceful and be reasonable with him. And I wanted him to see too what he did wrong. So I asked him, you know, what do you think? What, tell me what happened, because I'm explaining to him that he didn't do what I asked, and he's saying that's wrong. And I'm like, okay, well, if that's wrong, then you tell me what happened. And he said, I was on my way to do what you asked me, and then I grabbed the juice box, and then by the time I was going to go turn on the car, you were already out. And, you know, big eye roll. I was in the driver's seat while he was in the back seat, and we were talking about this, so he couldn't see me roll my eyes. But I told him, you didn't do what I asked because you grabbed a juice box instead of turning the car on. And he's like, yeah, but it just took a minute. And I was like, yes, it did. It just took a minute. In that minute, you could have gone out to turn the car on and the car could have been running. Like, that's how fast it would have taken. Mm-hmm. Like, do you see that? Do you see how long just grabbing a juice box was quick, but so is just turning the car on. And in that time that it took you to do that, you didn't do what I asked. Do you see that? And he kind of was quiet for a little bit. I think he did. I remember him not admitting to it out loud, but he did kind of hear me rather than just, you know, saying, no, that's not fair. And like tuning me out. Like, I really felt like he actually stopped and listened to me. And I think because I stopped and listened to him, to what he had to say, I don't know if he actually took it in. But, these are the small baby steps that I'm trying to take to slow down and hear him out so that he can slow down and hear me out instead of just being like, well, I'm right. You're wrong. You need to do what I say, because that's what I want to do.
Yeah, but that's humongous, Estella, for you to hear him out, right?
It's hard, yeah. But it's different. It is a really big step.
Yeah, that's big. And you did feel heard, and you did feel like it didn't end with, she's just unfair.
Right.
And just leaving it there.
Right.
Because that's the pattern. That's not growth. And for him, he's like, well, he had to think about it.
Yeah. That's the pattern I'm trying to get out of.
That's great.
Is just both of us just, you know, saying, well, no, I'm right. Well, no, I'm right. You know, and I'm arguing with a kid.
Me too. I'm trying to get out of also how those fights end with, well, she's just being unreasonable, or she's just unfair. And I can't wait to get out of here. You know, because, yeah, my kid's almost, he's 15 going on 16. And I can imagine he's like, you know.
It's always a power struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. It totally is. It totally is. Yeah. It's definitely a power struggle. They all have their strengths. We all actually, let's just not say kids. Don't we all have our strengths, all have our weaknesses? Don't we all, you know, struggle with certain things consistently, and we rise to certain occasions, you know, and we can't keep ourselves compartmentalized in these boxes. I thought to myself when I turned 40, like, whoa, this is my halfway mark. I have a great 40 more years ahead of me.
Lord willing.
But until he calls me home, which that'll be a wonderful day too. But, you know, I have a great, good 40 years ahead of me. And that's a lot of room to grow, you know, and I'm not done growing. I'm not done at all. But which is fun, because we won't be in this parenting aspect forever. Like, yeah, we are going to be, you know, I have almost a 16-year-old and almost a 10-year-old. Your son just had a birthday. You have a toddler. And, you know, who knows what the future holds. Mm-hmm. This is a season of parenting and a season of growth within our parenting, which is such an exciting time, because in this time, I think as like a mom, and actually in my 30s, going into my 40s, because I just turned 41, but I've learned so much about how I want to keep my home. I say now, instead of excuse the mess, I say my house is lived in, like, welcome. That is growth for me, because instead of being ashamed of my living space, yeah, okay, I forgot to vacuum. I'm sorry. My kids, you know, I'm doing laundry and there's a pile of laundry. I'm sorry. I could apologize, or I could just, you know, not take it so seriously, because everybody who comes over is so nice and gracious and is like, oh, well, no, yeah, no big deal. Oh, you know, so I'm making a bigger deal out of it. You know, also growing with my cooking skills. I've become, I'm sorry, toot toot.
No, yeah. Yes, toot that horn.
Toot toot. I have become, I love to cook. And I like, my husband's like, oh, you're a saucier, because I like to make sauces, because there was a time I was going through a stint of baking chicken and I would send it with him and he was just like, oh, it's great. I wish there was a sauce on it.
Oh my goodness.
No, but have you ever had just baked chicken for a whole week without any sauce and just rice?
Well, yes, like, as a matter of fact.
Right? You're fueling.
Yes. I'm dieting right now.
I know. But it's, I picked up a recipe, I followed it.
Yeah.
And now I can make any sauce under the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can, you know, just do that. And so that's growth. There's so much growth that I've had from my 30s to my 40s. So it's exciting to see you.
The best years are yet to come.
Yeah. I mean, and you're a younger mother than I am. And so you're growing, and I can, you know, it's fun to see our friends and people around us too grow. And while we're growing.
Yeah.
And we can support each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's really important to remember, we just have to always give ourselves that grace to learn. We have to parent with a growth mindset and always support ourselves and other women on their growth journey.
Because I have something in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where this question is coming from. What do you use to grow yourself? So like Devin said, your chicken was dry.
Yes.
And you became a saucier now.
Yes.
You know, and like, what are you using to kind of maybe sharpen yourself mm-hmm. and grow in those aspects that make these upcoming years the best ones yet?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's taken time, but I have tried to quiet my ego a bit. Well, that's really hard, because when my husband's like, oh, I wish there was some sauce, and then I hear, I don't like your food. and then honestly, my initial reaction was, well, then good luck with dinner.
No chicken for you.
Literally.
Our poor husbands.
and then my first response was, all right, well, that hurt. That stabbed me right in the heart. And I was hurt, and that was my ego.
Oh, that made me think of something. Go ahead. Go ahead, finish.
Oh, okay. But then here's the first thing. I tried to make a sauce, and it was a cream sauce, but It broke.
It was like a chunky.
Chunky.
Oh, no.
And I gave it to him anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I made it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you will eat and you will like it. But he literally was like, he brought it back and it was not even a quarter eaten. And that hurt me. But I knew it broke.
Yeah.
And I know don't like broken sauces. But he goes, yeah, the sauce. Mm. And then I allowed my ego again to be like, well, then I'll just buy some handmade sauce or store-made sauces. All da da da. But, you know, I'm a thrifty person.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make my own sauces. So I swallowed my pride. I shushed my ego. And I went to a recipe for lemon chicken piccata, right?
That sounds good.
It is so good. And so, and then I ended up making lemon chicken piccata for him. He loved it, of course, because who doesn't like a lemony chicken piccata?
That sounds awesome.
It was really good. And then from there, I ended up making... because that sauce actually calls for lemon and capers, mm-hmm. but not everybody likes capers.
Right. Wouldn't they taste like, maybe like olives?
Well,
a really bitter olive?
Briny. Yeah. Not bitter, but like, tangy.
Salty.
Salty, tangy, briny. Yeah. Like salty.
Okay.
And so, instead of putting capers in my next sauce, I actually ended up making a lemon broccoli.
Ooh.
cream sauce.
I feel like you showed me that one. Yeah.
Yes, I did. And I'm like, oh, next time I make it, I'm going to make you some, which I will.
Thank you. Still waiting.
Still waiting. Month and a half later. Too much. But it's so good. And now I feel confident because I can just brown some protein and get those little crispy bits, break it with some broth and put some wine if you want in there and cook it down.
I love recipes with wine in it.
Me
I love
too.
That red wine flavor. So, you know, white wine is okay, but that red wine, like beef bolognese.
Oh,
that one that has like red wine flavor in it. Mm-hmm. I made one time. I brought home a bottle of red wine and Josh was like, what is that? What are you doing? And I'm like, I wanted to make this recipe. It was so good. And when you cook with wine, all the alcohol gets cooked out anyway. So,
yeah, right?
But he was like, what are you doing?
You know, and honestly, once you have like, if you open a bottle of wine, you don't ever have, you could just put it next to your, and you don't finish it. You know, I know you're not drinkers.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I don't know much about alcohol. My question is, when you open, let's say, a bottle of red wine, are you able to like recork it or can you save it?
There is this method and this invention that can reseal a bottle, and it takes the oxygen out and puts this gas in order for it to not oxidize. Because what you don't want is for it to turn, and that's oxidation.
Okay.
So.
Because I don't know about wine.
Right. So once you uncork it, you're on a timetable unless you have that expensive tool.
I know that.
Yeah.
So.
So and what then, you want to do with your extra wine, just put it next to your stove and use it in your recipes because it'll turn, but it doesn't make your...
So don't put it in the fridge?
You can if you want to, but it might turn anyway. But vinegar, if it turns into vinegar, it's red wine vinegar and it still gives it the same flavor.
Because I always thought if I opened a bottle of wine, I would only use like a cup and then I would have the other half of the bottle left, you know?
Yeah.
And I would try to put it in my fridge, but then I would get too scared to use it again and I would just throw it away. And I've so you mentioned that tool, but do I have to buy that tool that...
Don't buy it because it's really expensive. And it's only for people who really like, say, buy a very expensive bottle of wine and they want to taste it and they want to save the rest.
Yeah.
So what you should do is freeze your remaining wine and keep it in the freezer.
No way.
So that, so that you can use just a cube when you want it for your sauce.
Really? That will water it down?
No, because you're freezing straight up wine.
Yeah, just wine.
So if it's just the wine,
okay.
You know, wine is part water, but it won't water it down. And people do that with bouillon or...
No, I've heard of that, like freezing cubes of soup and then reheating it.
You can do that with wine.
I've heard freezing cubes of soup and then putting the ice cubes of soup into your soup to cool it down. Gosh,
that's genius. I need to do that for Michaela. She's like...
Because it's always hot. Yeah. Laser is always complaining that it's hot.
But totally. You know what? But I think that that's the thing. Mm-hmm. As I've grown older, I have to quiet the part of me that says, Laura, you know everything already. Because we don't.
Yeah.
And there's a lot out there that we can learn from. And if we quiet that part that's like, I'm going to do it my way.
My feelings are hurt. You know?
Yeah.
Because it does. Like if Joshua says, hey, I kind of don't want, you know, the chicken that you're making, then I would think, oh, he doesn't like my cooking. No, my chicken is dry. That would hurt my feelings. But it's not the end of the world.
You just try to take things less personal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Try to take things a little less personally and more like... constructively, which is hard.
I most of the time I try to practice. If Joshua points something out to me, I don't feel attacked. I acknowledge it in my head. I'm like, he is not attacking me. He is not, he's not calling me a terrible cook.
Yeah.
He is simply expressing how he feels. And how can a partner express how they truly feel if you're always, biting back at them?
Right. Oh, what a good point. That's what I need to hear. Because a lot of times I'm just like,
you were able to give your husband that space to say, hey, I'm kind of, you know, maybe he was just bored with chicken for that week. And that's okay.
I think a lot of chickens.
Okay. Yes, same. Chicken is good. Okay. But by then responding to him by making new sauces and trying new recipes, you're giving him that space to say how he feels.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll open the door to give him the opportunity to say other things that are on his mind. And then in turn, he can respond to you in the same way when you bring up things
mm-hmm.
that are on your heart and like, hey, Devin, I don't like such and such thing.
Right.
But he won't take it personally.
Because I didn't take it because we were able to communicate in a very healthy way.
Exactly.
Without our feelings getting in the way.
Yeah.
Like our egos getting bruised.
Yeah.
Because that's when it all hits the fan. Sorry. That's when it all goes haywire.
That's right.
Say that. That's when it all goes to it. I know, because I'll be like, I can feel myself. Oh, yeah. You don't like my... Well, don't eat it.
Yeah. Like the beast on Beauty and the Beast. Go ahead and stomp it.
Yeah. That is so true. That is true. That's like the truth.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, going back to the wine thing.
Yeah.
You said you could leave the wine next to your stove after you open it.
Yeah.
And that's okay? How long can you leave it out like that? Like, do you have to cover it with like foil or something?
Well, do you have your cork still? You want to keep your cork.
So keep the cork. Sometimes it doesn't go all the way back in.
No, it doesn't have to. As long as it seals it. You don't want flies to get like fruit flies.
Sure.
Because they love them. You just cut, cork it. And then I go set it and forget it. Uh-huh. That's worse.
So just stick the cork back in.
Stick the cork back in. Put it next to your olive oil. You know, the things that you use for cooking so that you see it when you're going to cook. And use it. Don't worry. If it does oxidize red wine, just use it.
I haven't gotten wine since then because I don't like dumping, you know, I don't like being wasteful, and I'm not going to drink it because I don't like wine, unfortunately. Right. Yeah. But I also don't want to just dump it.
Save it, freeze it maybe.
Yeah.
I wonder. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You know, there's so many times when we're like, what do I do? Oh, I'm just going to, you know. I don't know what to do, but I'm glad that we have each other that we can ask advice.
That's right.
Yeah. We're empowering each other. I can't speak for everybody, but in my opinion, as I've gotten older, I feel like, and maybe it's the age thing, maybe it's just the time that we're living in, but have you felt more or less that women are more empowering each other and encouraging each other and not competing against each other?
I feel like it comes in waves. It's kind of like that generational thing. I've heard that like fashion goes in and out of style. I think about that time when I might cut this part out because I sound dumb, but what time era is that woman from? She has a headband and it's the I Am Strong woman and she's flexing her bicep.
I feel like it's the 50s. Let me find out.
It's not important. The time frame is not important, but you know what I'm referring to, right? The woman who's like the, I am strong. What does she say? She says like, you can do it or something like that.
Right.
Or we can do it. Maybe it would be worth looking up.
We can do it. And it's Rosie the Riveter.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's her name. Rosie the Riveter.
But I feel like empowering women, it's like a generational thing. I mean, I'm no women's studies expert. When I was in middle school, there was more of that, like, catty, you know, girl versus girl. Like, you can't be friends with other girls unless you're, like, trying to be popular or something like that. It was very, like... mm-hmm. just catty is the word I'm thinking of, versus now that I'm older, I feel like I see more women supporting women and themes of empowering fellow women.
Me too.
And growing your girl friendships.
Yes. No, absolutely. No, I think that's completely right. That the feeling that I have right now is I feel so encouraged. Like, I feel so empowered, and I feel like people are rooting me on, like my girls and my guys, you know, like my son and my husband. And I feel like I'm getting, you know, like that right now at this stage of my life, like now I'm 40 and I'm like, woman, hear me roar. Mm-hmm. And I can do anything that I put my mind to. And I feel like all these women, you included.
That's me.
Yep. Are like, yes, you can, Laura.
Yeah.
You can do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel so empowered by you. And I feel so empowered by my other friends that are like, yes, mm-hmm. awesome. You're doing a podcast? That's so cool. And I'm like, yeah, we're trying. That's cool. That's awesome. That's so. And I'm like, yeah. And my husband's like, wow, that's really neat. And I don't think that he quite gets the force and encouragement that women can bring to other women.
Yeah.
And that is individual, I think, to who we are. And we can encourage and we can raise up and we can sing each other's praises. Mm-hmm. And at this stage of life, I feel like I'm growing into a person that wants to be encouraging, more encouraging and more empowering to the people around me. And even growing the group. So growing my friend group so I can encourage more people, mm-hmm. and that I can just be an empowering force. So mm-hmm. if somebody's feeling like, ooh, mm-hmm. I can be there. Or when I'm feeling like, I know that I can go to you or I can go to another friend that I'm like, you know what? I just need this empowerment.
Yeah.
And more so than when we were in our middle school and don't even get me started on middle school.
I know, right?
But high school, yeah. And it's more competitive nature. Even amongst your friend groups, it's like, it's, you know, it could feel that way at times when you can't even feel comfortable or relax or settle in because maybe it's the perception, you know, that, you know, we just aren't settled into a friend group or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the feeling of competition, even say into our early 20s, because what are we doing right then? We're looking for companions.
Yes.
And trying to find ourselves.
Yeah.
And maybe we're growing out of certain friendships mm-hmm. that we had at certain times of our lives. And, or maybe we're, you know, doing all kinds of stuff, but we need to give ourselves that grace because we are forever evolving, mm-hmm. you know, we're forever evolving. And then once we get into our 30s and we're in our, you know, our, I don't want to say midlife, and not everybody's a parent.
Right. I was just going to say, I wouldn't even put an age on it.
Oh, true.
Because everybody's at a different pace too. You know what I mean?
So true.
And I think you shouldn't feel held back by your age or,
right.
Just especially held back. I don't think you should feel like you're running out of time or like, oh shoot, I'm 30 now and I don't have this, this, and this in my life. Just because your career, your relationship status, maybe you want it to be a certain way at a certain age, but it's not limited to your age. You know, your career can take off at 20 or 40, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You might not find marriage. You could find marriage at 20 or 40, and that's okay.
Right.
You
don't have to compare yourself to anybody else because
right.
you're on your own. You're on your path.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you it's important to just own where you are at that moment and kind of just cultivate what you have and not be taken, not be down on yourself.
Yeah, a relationship or your career, the way you want it at that moment or the way that you thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. I, right out of high school, I went to college. It was a community college. And then I hopped to another community college. And I never got my degree. I didn't get an associate's degree or anything, which I know. I'm like, oh, I want that, you know? Mm-hmm. Then I decided, you know, a few years ago, or last year, actually, that I was going to go back to school.
Yeah.
You know, and get an associate's degree in psychology. And so I started doing some studies. And then I put that on hold again. And I only have two more classes. But
nice.
You know, it's okay. You don't have to do things the way... No, go ahead. Yeah.
Quote, unquote, in order.
Right.
You don't have to do things in order because it's, you know, Einstein said it best, time is relative.
Right? Age is nothing but a number.
Nothing but a number. Yeah. And look at you. You're going to get your associates now.
Yeah. I will eventually.
Working on it.
Working on it. I mean, I love psychology so much. It's just one of those things. I can take a class and I'm just so into it.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to try to focus on starting my business, you know, my resale business. And I wanted to, you know, try to be actually start this year being creative.
Yes.
And because there's been so long that I've wanted to be creative, but I've stopped myself because I've been like, I'm not going to do it right. And I've just been so hard on myself. Like I won't even pick, I've been so hard on myself. Estella, my father is an artist, but I've been so hard on myself that I wouldn't even pick up. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Take your time.
I've been so hard on myself this whole time that like, I've never even wanted to like pick up a paintbrush. Or like try to be an artist and create things.
Yeah.
Because I've always wanted to compare myself to my dad, who's really amazing at anything. He's like creative. He's just a creative person. And so I've always stifled myself because I've always compared myself to him. But this year I was like, you know what? I'm going to grow in my creativity. And I get so much pleasure when we go paint.
Yeah.
And when we talk art or everything, you know? And it's been so rewarding and enriching for, my experience in my life. And I'm like, I can create things.
Yeah.
You know?
I think creating is important. I don't think we give creativity the worth that it deserves. I think it's seen more as a hobby, more as a, I'm trying to put this into words. Yes, creativity can be a hobby, but I think creativity is necessary because we need to be able to, the way I can bring it back, I don't know, I can compare it, is if we were made in the image of God, Look at what God has done. He created the heavens and the earth. He created woman when he saw that that man needed a companion, and he created the perfect partner for man. And if we are created in the image of God to reflect who God is, we crave that creativity, and we need to include make it part of our life, you know. Right. Creativity is not just, I don't want to say not just for fun, like I'm trying to put this into words because it's just coming to me right now.
It's a necessary way to express ourselves. It's in a necessary way that we can't put words to.
Right. Yeah. Because some forms of creativity are more accepted than others, you know. Maybe you felt like you couldn't paint or create things because it wasn't important enough. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There wasn't enough like validation that you had for being creative. Mm-hmm. It wasn't allowed.
Right.
I think a lot of people are told that your creativity is not important enough, and that's not good. Mm-hmm. We need to be creative. We need to be able to, just like we need to allow our kids to make mistakes, do things and fail. We need to allow ourselves to be creative and without judgment.
That's so true. Just to take it back to the painting that we did, the first time we went, yeah, that wasn't the best thing that I could have painted.
Oh, the poppies.
But it was still, I was giving myself an opportunity to try it out and grow from there. The second time was so much, I think it came out better.
The first time it came out better. It came out good.
It came out fine. Yeah. It's my own.
Yeah. The fact that you got color on the canvas in the first place,
right,
is good. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to, like, your painting doesn't have to look like the instructor's painting.
Right.
It's your own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And I look forward to those paintings.
Yeah. I have all my paintings hung up in my house.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
it's perfect. And I mean, what better way to decorate your home than with your own art?
Yeah.
And it's really nice.
Because it means something to me. It's been so hard to decorate my house. I want to, like, put stuff on the wall, but I don't want to just put whatever canvas I find in TJ Maxx or whatever. Right. I want it to mean something to me. Like the colors, the shapes, the paint, whatever's on there, whatever's pictured on there, I want it to mean something to me.
Yeah. You are a Pinterester. So have you been Pinteresting your ideas?
Yes. I love Pinterest so much. I'm not an organized person, but I've learned to organize my Pinterest board so that I can go back and find things.
Okay.
I have a home folder, and in my home folder, I have a bunch of subfolders like home, gym, and home organization. I have one for photos to teach me how to organize photos of different shapes and sizes all together. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how when we were looking at the decoration in the Henry's?
Yeah.
And how everything is like different shapes, but yes, it all goes cohesive all over the wall. That's what I'm looking like. That's the kind of stuff I like to save so that I know how to organize my different shapes of photos and stuff.
Yes.
So I just need to put it into practice.
Okay. Well, I need to start my Pinterest because that's something I've been putting off. But the other day, Devin said, somebody said I need a Pinterest. And so, like,
well, Pinterest is, it's a tool. And the point of all these, like, social medias and stuff, they're just tools.
Yeah.
They're just channels that you can allow your creativity to flow. But you're the source. It's all you. You're the creative one. You're looking on Pinterest. I look for things that inspire me, that I enjoy. And I'm trying to let go of this idea of like what I would like to be like, mm-hmm, and just accepting what I actually like.
I love that.
Because a lot of times I found myself saving these things that I kind of like, but didn't like. And like, I want to be somebody who, you know, for example, like I used to save a lot of songs on my Spotify playlist. I would like them. I don't know what it was like, so that the song wouldn't feel bad. Like if I liked even a small aspect of the song, I would like heart it. Mm-hmm. But then my library was filled with all these songs that I didn't like. It's, I know it's a weird concept, but
no.
I think it's part of self-growth, yes, in acknowledging what you like and don't like. I had such a hard time letting go of the things that I didn't like because I felt bad.
Being authentic to yourself.
And I had to learn to be authentic to myself.
Yeah.
And if that was, you know, saying that I didn't like this song because of I just started getting bored, maybe I liked the intro, but I didn't like the rest of the song, so I would not add that song to my playlist.
It's okay to change your mind.
It's okay to change. Yeah.
Right. I think sometimes we get stuck there. Oh, but I liked this song. And so why am I going to there must be something that I liked about the song, but that's okay because we are evolving. Like,
yes,
we are growing and expanding.
That's right.
All the time.
And if you hold on to all these things that you don't like, then you can't expand. You can't let other good things that you actually like into your life. And I've just been trying to do that. And so with Pinterest, with my playlist on Spotify, I'm trying to incorporate things that I truly enjoy and things that I actually like so that I can go back and like enjoy it. If I go back to my Pinterest board and I have all these things that are saved that I
heard and you're like,
exactly.
Yeah.
There's that, you know, the ADHD saying of I got to save this just in case I use it later and then you never go back. But I think an element of that is, yes, distraction, but maybe you didn't really like it that much. You didn't like it as much as you thought you did. Right. And so you don't really see a desire to go back to it and apply it. I also just want to be more organized in general. Yeah. And I feel like Pinterest helps me to do that, to get all my ideas in one place.
That is so good.
Yeah. I just have such an overflow of ideas sometimes that I can't hold on to all of it at the same time. So what I've been doing is as my projects come along, I'll make its own folder for that specific project. If it's, let's say, you know, karaoke, and I need ideas to decorate, I'll use my Pinterest board and it'll just be called karaoke night.
Mm-hmm.
And I only put karaoke stuff in there. Yes, some of my, like, as much as I would love to be more organized in the sense that, like, well, I'm going to make a balloon section. And then when I want to decorate for karaoke, I'll go to the balloon section and look at my balloon stuff. Like, no, just put balloon stuff in my karaoke, karaoke folder. And put, you know, decorations. And so I'll have balloons in my karaoke folder, but I'll also have balloons in my birthday folder. You know what I mean? I even split up my birthdays. So for Laser's birthday and Josiah's birthday, I'll always have specific folders. Birthday 11. Birthday, you know, I had 10. Birthday 10, I had Plants vs. Zombies. And I used to be afraid of separating all of my things. I'm like, oh, but how am I going to find it? It's been easier to find things because I actually organize it.
Doing it that works for you.
In my train of thought.
Mm-hmm.
I used to listen to other people and say, well, you have to organize it like this. No, I'm going along with my train of thought and like accepting who I am in that sense.
Yes.
And just allowing myself to be creative and not putting so many barriers on myself.
And it flows so much better.
It does.
And it functions well.
It does. It really does.
And you don't have to fit yourself into somebody else's box.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, you don't even have to fit into an Estella box. You're like, I'm expanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Growing. Make this box bigger.
Yeah.
Right. And that's so cool because Pinterest is intimidating to me because I feel like, oh, I have to make it into this. But no, hearing that is encouraging for me because I can make it into whatever I want it to be.
Yeah.
That's like Laura's Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't have to be organized like the way that this person says it has to be. It can function for me because of the way my brain works and how it
functions. And there are some folders on there that I don't know what the heck is in them.
Sure.
But hey, that's part of it.
That's like our hall closet. We're like,
I know. Oh my gosh.
Or my junk drawer. Oh my gosh. Don't look in that thing.
My junk room.
I know, it's true.
So if you could go back and give your younger self advice about growth, what would you say?
I would say to not be so hard on myself when I make mistakes. Pick yourself up again. You're going to get another chance. You're going to fail. You're going to pick yourself up. You're going to dust yourself off and you're going to try again. And that no failure is final, that's just an opportunity for growth. Because I really wish that when I was younger, I had the growth mindset that my failures weren't something to take so personally and so to heart and allow that to discourage me. I would actually tell myself, be more encouraging to yourself. Like, be kinder to yourself. I would tell myself to look around. Ooh, I would tell myself to talk to some very successful people and find out how many times they might have.
I think the main theme that successful people have in their story is that they faced trials and got back up again. I think that's what makes someone successful.
Yeah. They've gotten back up again, and they almost, it's like they don't look at the trials as a negative. They almost look at it as an opportunity for growth, right?
Right.
Yeah. God has got you. Because when I reflect actually back on my life, I'm like, whoa, you know, God got me through a bunch of trials and tribulations. God has got me through here today.
Yeah. If I could give myself advice, because, you know, I hate this question. The what advice can you give your younger self? And I think I just don't like that it feels like regret, you know? And if I could give my younger self advice, I would say do things differently. I would tell myself, enjoy the things that you actually enjoy instead of waiting until you're older. I felt like when I wanted to do something or enjoy something when I was younger, I found excuses to say that that wasn't good enough. And maybe that was a narrative that I heard from other people, that my interests were not good enough. And so I would always tell myself, one day when I'm older, I'll be able to get into that. But now, if I'm interested in something, I'll just do it. Right. Within reason, you know, I still have to take care of my family and kids. Mm-hmm. But I always felt when I was younger that I didn't have the time. I don't know how to explain it, but...
Or like the opportunity.
The opportunity, maybe. I don't know. Like, it wasn't good enough to pursue, like, you know, art. Mm-hmm. When you're young, you have to focus on your studies. And if you're interested in art, that's an extracurricular, not a focus, not a main focus, at mm-hmm. least. The thing is, when I start thinking of this question, I feel not regret, but I feel like I'm lingering in regret, and I don't want to do that. I want to move forward. And when I think of that question, I feel like I'm making myself go back in time.
And how many times when we were that, you know, was the younger version of us not given that, like, grace and mercy? So now we, as these older and more emotionally intelligent people, need to look at that self and give ourselves grace and mercy.
Ooh, that's good.
Because we shouldn't linger in the regret of mistakes of the life that we've lived. Because look at where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
We're growing. We've grown and we're still growing.
Yeah, I've always seen it as, well, that time has passed. I've run out of time to give myself grace for that.
Oh,
I can only move forward now.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, how dare you hold that against yourself? God has forgiven you for that. No, I'm just kidding. You know what I mean?
I guess so.
Yeah, a bit. Mm-hmm. A bit. You made the choices at that moment that you thought were the best choices.
Or that I had to.
That you had to. Yeah, that you had to. But now we're here. And you know that we couldn't have been. I don't think I would be here at this moment if it hadn't been for.
I know. Yeah.
The times. So thank you, Lord, for seeing me through and seeing me to here and growing my mind, growing my emotional intelligence. And now I feel even more empowered to grow and have that growth mindset, because I know that through a trial or tribulation, that I'm walking with the Lord and that He's going to see me through to the other side, and that there's going to be trials and tribulations throughout the rest of life. but he's, you know, he's there with us. So we can do it all. We can. We just have to have that kind of like mindset. Yeah, I'm so excited about it because I see myself growing, mm-hmm. you know. Oh, I'm going to take this calm parenting advice sometimes. And then when I don't, I'm going to forgive myself and I'm going to grow out of that and take that as not just like a failure and man, I'm the worst mother and man, I hate myself and man, blah, 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 blah. No.
Failures are not dead ends. Mm-hmm. They are simply hurdles and you can get over a hurdle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that. It's
not a finish line.
It is not. It is not. We just love sharing, you know, this concept of the grace to grow just because it is something that we all have struggles. We all have ways that we can better ourselves.
And that's it for today's episode.
We're so glad that you spent part of your day with us.
If something we said encouraged you or made you laugh, we'd love to hear about it.
And if you know somebody who'd love this conversation, go ahead and share this episode with them.
Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss future episodes.
And until next time,
we give grace because grace was given. See you soon.